Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you had a great weekend. We had a great day yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, worshiping the Lord, seeing three baptized, and then my sermon was focused in on the election. Excuse me, I called it Election 2024, What is a Christian to Do? Now, I used as my text Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, there's the implication is there's not much you can do if you destroy the foundations. And the foundations, as that scripture mentions, you ask yourself, what does it mean here? It refers to those things on which society rests or by which social order is sustained, the great principles of truth and righteousness that uphold a society, just as the foundations, you know, of an edifice uphold that edifice, uphold the building. And so we don't want to lose the foundations. And if you've been paying attention to what's been going on, you know that the foundations of our country are under major attack today. We have gone into a world in America where we call evil good and good evil. We substitute light for darkness and darkness for light. It is terrible. Because it's an upside-down world. Now, Psalm 11:3, I like what it says in the Passion Translation, a new translation, says this: what can the righteous accomplish when truth's pillars are destroyed and law and order collapse? No doubt we're seeing this in America. Law and order collapsing. Defund the police, the left says. The lies coming from the media are just unbelievable. Now, I like this verse in Scripture where Psalm 89:14, where it talks about God's throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. You think of those four things: righteousness, justice, loving kindness. That's God's grace, God's love in action, His love and His kindness put together. It's used over and over and over again, hesed in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. And truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus prayed in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, we live in a Romans 1 society. Even though we knew about God as a society, we did not honor God as God or give Him thanks. We rejected God, and so when you reject God, God gives you over. He gives you over to sexual immorality. He gives you over to homosexual immorality, and then He gives you over to a reprobate mind. We're living in that, a mind that no longer functions, where 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4, where and these learned people can come before Congress and say with a straight face when asked the question, what is a woman? You're being interviewed to be a Supreme Court justice. What is a woman? And you can't answer the question. And your default is, well, I'm not a biologist. It's just amazing. Now, there is something. We talk about anger. The Scripture says in Ephesians 4, be angry and yet do not sin. Now, we tend to think that when we get angry, that's always unrighteous anger. Most of the time it is. You're angry because somebody cut you off in traffic. Somebody said something about you that you didn't like. They did something to you that you didn't like. You're, as a man, if your wife disrespects you, that hits on a nerve and causes you to get angry. But there is a thing called righteous indignation. And righteous indignation is when you see injustice taking place right before your eyes, you get angry. You know, in the Bible, you have, in the book of Psalms, you have these things called imprecatory psalms. And they're psalms asking God to judge. Psalm 35, Psalm 59, Psalm 69, Psalm 109, Psalm 137. Now, Psalm 137 is a favorite of many. I've preached on Psalm 137 before, and I called it, Have You Lost Your Song? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps, for there our captors demanded of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Well, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? These are the exiles that had been taken from Jerusalem and now were living in Babylon. And they were by the rivers of Babylon. Babylon doesn't have rivers. It has the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. So if you read between the lines, these guys were digging canals for the Babylonians, and they were being taunted. You know, if back in that day, if you got defeated, Babylon worshipped Baal and Marduk and false gods. And so if their nation defeated your nation that worships Yahweh, they would say, our God defeated your God. So they're making fun of them. And sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the psalmist says, well, how can we do that? How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Now, watch this. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the Edomites, their descendants of Esau, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. When Nebuchadnezzar came in 586 BC and destroyed the city and destroyed Solomon's temple and tore down the wall of Jerusalem, the Edomites were watching and cheering and clapping and saying, that's right, destroy them, level them to the ground. And the psalmist says, hey, remember, O Lord, what they did. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one, how blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you have repaid us. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock. No doubt that was happening to the Jews, and they saw the Babylonians do that to their children. And that's such a vivid statement, such a horrific statement. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock. That's an imprecatory psalm. You're asking God to judge, as King Jehoshaphat prayed in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. Oh God, the enemies were coming against him. Three enemies combined into one army. Oh God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless against this enemy. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Such a great verse. Well, if you've been keeping up, I say all that to say this, righteous indignation. When we see things taking place in our country that are wrong, we should have righteous indignation. If you have a ho-hum attitude toward abortion, well, that's wrong. Those people who are killing, I shared yesterday about abortion is an issue that God is very concerned about. God is pro-life. With every fiber of his being, he is pro-life. And we are to, as Proverbs 31 says, speak up for the unborn. And we are to give voice to those who don't have a voice. You know, we hear a lot about my body, my choice, and a woman's right to choose and all that. What about the baby's right? You know, let's ask the baby, do you want to be aborted? Obviously, they don't. So this is what Proverbs 31 tells us. Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. And so that should well within us when we see this stuff taking place, when we hear about the Democrat National Convention having a mobile abortion unit connected to their convention and celebrating the fact that they murdered 25 unborn babies, brutally murdered them by dismemberment during their convention. That is the be-all end-all for the liberals, is the right to abortion. They don't call it anything but reproductive rights, woman's right to choose, or whatever. Bill Maher, we played the clip on the program before, he called it what it really is, murder. Well, here's another thing that should get our blood boiling, righteous indignation, seeing what's happening to the people in Western Carolina and seeing what FEMA is doing, actively blocking, I read this today, shipments for relief. They are working against those who are trying to come in and help the people. It is mind-blowing. We saw Kamala Harris get on the camera and say, well, we have a check for you for $750. That's not per person. That's per family. And some have said when they go to collect the money, they say, well, you know, it's not a gift. It's a loan. I don't know. I haven't had that confirmed, but some have stated that. I saw one guy's testimony, tearful testimony. He said, you know, I lost everything, and you go to FEMA and, okay, here's $750, but you have to pay it back in a year, and if you don't, we'll seize your property. Now, take that with a grain of salt, because that hasn't been confirmed, but knowing the way our government is, I wouldn't be surprised. And FEMA, it has been, it was asked, you know, FEMA has millions and millions and millions of dollars. FEMA, you say, what does FEMA stand for? Federal Emergency Management Agency. And they are designed and were founded to help with things like this, to help Americans in need from storms and disasters. Well, we've given so much money to illegal aliens. And Karine Jean-Pierre was asked point blank, is this taking place? And she says, no, it's categorically false. Hear this clip.
Former President Trump is accusing the Biden administration of using FEMA funding to support undocumented migrants. How is the White House responding to this?
I mean, it's just categorically false. It is not true. It is a false statement. And look, the fact of the matter is, I think Washington Post fact checker did a piece, and the headline recently, just moments ago, not too long ago, and the headline was, no, Biden did not take FEMA relief money to use on migrants, but Trump did.
So you lie and then you blame Trump. That was Karine Jean-Pierre, October 4th of this year. But September 16th of 2022, she did say that they were using FEMA funds for migrants. And she lumped it in with some other things. Well, the report I saw said that we've given almost $700 million of FEMA funds to migrants. And Mayorkas has said, well, we don't have any more money left in that fund. Now, the liberal media who are in the tank for the left, it was kind of funny. An undercover camera got one of the producers of MSNBC. Not funny like ha-ha, but funny that this guy said this. One of the producers of MSNBC admitted that their network is doing all it can do to help Kamala Harris get elected. Just sickening. The bias that's there. They don't cover the news. You know, a news agency is supposed to just report this is what happened. They're not to spin the news in a particular way. Now, Tom Cotton was talking to Christine Welker on NBC News just recently. They were talking about Hurricane Helene, and she's trying to make the case that, no, it's not a situation like that. FEMA's not giving funds to the immigrants.
My broader question to you, I think, is about this misinformation. Do you think this is a time to put falsehoods aside, like the idea that FEMA funds are being redirected to migrants, which is just not true?
Well, it is true that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security have been spending billions of dollars on migrants. Now, I understand some people say they're separate funds, but we just passed a short-term spending bill. It's very common for the administration to come and ask for permission to move money between funds, especially to prepare for emergencies. And second, I would note that this administration seems to have no problem finding money when they want to spend it on their priorities. When they need hundreds of billions of dollars to pay off student loans for graduate students in gender studies programs, they somehow find it. When it's trying to get helicopters to deliver food and water and cellular service and life-saving medicine into these mountain valleys, they somehow can't seem to find the money.
That was Tom Cotton. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
Every day, babies in their mothers' wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm gonna go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
There have been people in our nation who have been pining for wickedness. As we read through Romans 1, you see over and over, God gave them over. God gave them over. But what is happening is evidence of abandonment. We need to understand that that is included within the wheelhouse, if you will, of God judging a people.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on AFR.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I have on the line with me Dr. Gary Frazier, founder and president of Discovery Ministries. Gary is an author, a speaker, and a prophecy expert, and he is one, like the sons of Issachar, he understands the times and what Israel should do. Gary, as we left off the first segment, we played the clip, Tom Cotton, talking on NBC News about the lie that, FEMA's not giving money to illegal immigrants, but the truth has come out. They have been doing that, and now they don't have any money left to help the people in North Carolina. And to make matters worse, we're hearing reports that FEMA is trying to inhibit people from helping those in need. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, Jeff, we have an ungodly administration, and the truth of the matter is that nothing that comes out of their mouth can be accepted as truth. Tom Cotton, by the way, is one of the champions of truth, because he constantly confronts them when they're lying, which they do on a continuous basis. So, having said that, we know. Look, they may try to cover up all that they can, but you know, things have a way of getting out, and things are out now. And the truth of the matter is a cover up is always worse than the lie. They ought to just step forward and tell the truth for a change and shock the American people. But they won't do that. So what are we to expect from these people? And we can't expect anything other than this.
It's just, you know, we talk about righteous indignation and people kind of shy away from that. Well, I'm not supposed to get angry. But it's right to get angry about those things that we see. It's right to get angry about people continually lying and lying and lying. You know, I said after that Corinne Jean-Pierre, where she said, oh, it's categorically false that we're giving FEMA money for that. And then she blames Trump. And it seems to be the MO of the left. You lie about it and then just blame Trump for every problem under the sun.
Well, you know the way this works. When somebody says they're not doing something and accuse someone else of doing it, it's just smoke and mirrors to try to cover their own backside. And that's what this is the most pathetic. I mean, to tell you the truth, it's the most pathetic administration we have ever seen. I'm telling you, it's worse than Jimmy Carter. And the reason for that is, look at the people that are in his cabinet, number one. And number two, look at his own wife hosting or running a cabinet meeting. Can you imagine? And this is where we are. And so I just pray that on November the 5th, we make a change here. I pray that the election would be such a landslide that it can't steal it, because that will be their goal. They were not concerned about Biden being in his basement all during right. the 2020 run-up, because they knew what they were going to do. And so they're going to try the same thing again. But I just pray that this time it'd be so huge, it'll be a Reagan-esque type victory, so they can't possibly steal it. But don't kid yourself. They're going to try. And I know that people say this was a fair election 2020. And anybody that says that, I'm sorry. You're ignorant, because you haven't looked at the reality and the facts. We have reams of facts of how the election was stolen in 2020. The problem is, no, the courts wouldn't look at it, because Chief Justice said if we were to overturn the election, there'd be blood in the streets and so forth. And so John Roberts chose not to look at the reality of it and the facts of it. And that was tragic for all of us Americans, because they didn't steal the election from Trump. They stole it from all of us.
Right. That's a great point. Yeah, I've often said the Democrat, I'm cheating is like, that's like going 5 miles over the speed limit. I mean, that's nothing to them.
Yeah. And, well, you know, here's the thing you have to realize, Jeff, you know this to be a fact, because you stay on top of this stuff as well. The bottom line here is that power is never given up freely. It must be taken away. And power is what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And so they will go to any extreme, up to and including. And we don't have time to get into all this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy, but up to and including killing, mm-hmm. if necessary, to stay in power. And so this is a dangerous situation. You know, one of the interesting things, and I just say this as an observation, the Democrats who run for political office typically are attorneys, or they're from the world of academia. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Republicans that run typically are people who have been business people, and they see an issue, and they feel like they want to serve the people of their their state or county or city, whatever the case might be. And so they run for office, but it's two different mindsets. Right. One group of people knows nothing about how to establish and run and operate a business in order to be successful. Another one has done it. And right. so we end up, look back over time to see what presidents were elected, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about as a fact.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've often said, Gary, that there are two different skill sets. Running for office and actually doing the job, that's two different things.
Two different things.
Because
totally, completely.
I mean, I like Dr. Ben Carson. I think he would be good in leadership, but he's not good on the campaign trail. He's a deep
No.
thinker, and he doesn't necessarily come across well just off the cuff. But some of these others, as you said, if you're an attorney, you've been skilled in rhetoric and things like that, you tend
Mm-hmm.
to do well. But then when you get to the job, well, you do terrible at the job. You know, they said of Bill Clinton, he liked running. He didn't like the job.
Well, the thing is that, you know, it takes a different mindset to govern we the people, and to understand our Constitution and be willing to uphold our Constitution and rights and freedoms. That takes a real commitment internally and personally to do that. On the other hand, if you're there just to have power and to enjoy the perks of the quote-unquote office, then it's a different thing entirely. Today, today what sadly is, and, you know, I'm just going to be blunt here, the American people are so busy doing their own lives, they're not, the majority don't pay attention to what is going on. They don't realize the struggles and the difficulties they have are largely because they've not been paying attention themselves and involved. You know, several years ago in the run-up to the 2016 election, I was standing in the National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia, of course, and I said, I'm standing among these headstones of the people who paid the ultimate sacrifice to allow us to have the freedoms that we enjoy today. But with that comes responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities that we have is to be informed and concerning our vote and then actively participate. Do you know that our research showed that 61.7 million people, Americans, who identified themselves as conservative/Christians, did not vote in 2010 in the midterm, 2014 in the main presidential election, or 2000, and they had not voted since 2008. That was the last time they'd voted. So what our job was, we wanted to go out and encourage these people to engage, and they did, and that brought about a humongous victory for President Trump in 2016. But I will tell you this, and I know we're primarily going to talk about Israel in a moment, but let me just say this. As America goes, so goes the world. We have gone down a path that if something doesn't change in November, I'm going to tell you, we're done.
Yeah.
This country cannot, and I hope people hear what I'm saying, this country cannot survive another 4 years under this socialist Marxist type of government, the mentality of the lying and the cheating and the perversion and all the other things that go along with it. We can't survive it. There's no possible way. And by the way, we're at a place right now where if we lose it, it just simply means that God has written Ichabod across America and we're done.
Right.
If we win it, then it means that God is going to give us another opportunity to try and get it right. And I will say one thing about the political arena, as we're talking about this, when Donald Trump went into office after the 2016 election on January 20th of 2017, he didn't realize just how deep and wide the swamp was.
Yeah.
Now he knows. Now he knows, and he knows what it means to pick the appropriate people, and he knows what to expect. And so the thing is that he does have a grasp of where we are right now. But I will tell you this, if he does win this on November the 5th, his life is in grave danger between November the 5th and January the 20th. The deep state will try to kill him. And the reason they hate him so badly is because he's not for sale. They cannot buy him.
That's what they cannot
allow to happen in Washington, D.C.
Right. You know, Gary, I don't know if there's if there is an agency in the government that's not been corrupted. It seems like the corruption just goes everywhere. Well, let me just say this.
I don't think there's one.
Yeah. Along those lines that you were saying today in Texas anyway, and I think in Arkansas, you need to check the last day to register to vote. And we need to get Christians to register. I saw this statistic, Gary, that said, in the last election, 15 million Christians didn't even register to vote. 40 million didn't vote. 15 weren't even registered to vote. 15 million. So
let me tell you a statistic that'll shock you. When we were working very diligently with an organization that a 501c3 nonprofit that I was working with in 2014 up through mid 2017, and our goal was to get anybody but Hillary elected. But having said that, we approached churches in America, mega churches, because, you know, the voting records of all Americans are public information if you have the capacity to store the information, and we did. And so our research head, Dr. George Barna, who's considered to be, you know, the premier Christian researcher in the world today, George, we put together a program where we'd approach a mega church such as a First Baptist Dallas or a Prestonwood or Gateway or whatever the case might be, and we said, hey, we'll sign a non-disclosure if you will provide us your membership rolls. We will not use them for any reason other than research. And here's what we're looking for. We want to know how many people in your congregation actually exercised their privilege to vote. And I know that you may think it's a certain number, but you may be shocked when you find out what it is. We had large churches all across America who surrendered their membership rolls. We ran it against the national voting database, which won't tell you how someone voted, but it will tell you if they had voted right. in a presidential or a state or a county or even a city election. Here is the unbelievable thing. The average of a mega church whose pastors were very involved in encouraging the people to vote was 41% of their membership voted.
Wow.
41%. The highest that we saw was about 44%. That was a shock. And when we revealed this to the pastors, they were just, I mean, they couldn't believe it. They were shocked that their own membership that they stood up there, they may have voting registration things in the lobbies of the church or whatever the case might be. They couldn't believe it. But yeah. This is the cold, hard reality. And that is that Christians today have become so lethargic when it comes to politics. They say, well, we shouldn't be involved in politics. That is totally absurd. That right. is ridiculous. Let's go back to our founders and what has made America the great country it is, or has been, I should say. But it yeah. was a shocking revelation to all of us.
Well, Bill Federer wrote the book Silence Equals Consent, and if you don't, mm-hmm. Speak now or forever lose your freedoms is the subtitle of that book. It's really true. And so I shared a quote yesterday on my election sermon, Gary, that's from Plato back in the 300s mm-hmm. BC. The price good mm-hmm. men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. And mm-hmm. why would exactly. God want us to be indifferent to things that we are given the privilege and the duty to get involved in? It doesn't make any sense at all.
We have to stand up. Christ died for us to be free, not just free from sin, but to not live under tyranny. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is that, we have been negligent across the board in being involved and being informed. One of the most dangerous things that we have in America is an uninformed voter.
Right.
And people today just simply say, well, my parents were Democrats, and I'm going to vote for a Democrat. Well, you're an right. idiot. That just simply means that you've not taken the time to be informed. You don't know what you're talking about. And look, I'm not – the Republican Party is not the greatest party on the face of the earth. Here's the problem. We only have a choice between two.
Right.
And therein lies and here's the issue. One of them is pro-murder of our live yet unborn. The other one has a platform of pro-life. End of discussion. We don't need to look any farther. We don't even need to talk about the border or the economy or inflation or anything else. It's about this whole thing has always been about what is righteous and what is moral, and that's mm-hmm. where we are.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Gary Frazier, founder and president of Discovery Missions, author, speaker, and prophecy expert. And Gary, we're coming up on a break, but when we come back from the break, we want to really get into Israel. And let me just introduce that because today is the anniversary of the massacre that took place a year ago, October 7th, where 1,200 Israelis, innocent Israeli citizens, these aren't soldiers in battle, these are innocent people who were not just murdered, but brutally murdered, hunted down and murdered, beheaded, burned, little kids, babies, just sickening. And so what does this day mean to Israel?
Well, first of all, Jeff, it's a solemn day for sure. And all across Israel today, of course, it's the afternoon now in Israel. And people are, I'm sure, are pondering the fact that not only did 1,200 plus innocents perish, 251 hostages taken, there are still 101 hostages still being in hostage to these barbaric individuals. So it's a very solemn day there.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Gary Frazier. We are going to talk about Israel because it is it should be on every Christian's heart. We're commanded in Scripture, Psalm 122, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Gary, when we come back, we're going to talk about the attack that Iran conducted on Israel and the response that we're waiting on, because we know Israel will respond. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and these issues are issues that every Christian needs to be aware of and prayerful concerning. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger.
After Gracie stopped singing publicly, our pastor asked me to play the piano before services to help foster a more reverent atmosphere. And I was launched into a well-known hymn, only to discover that I wasn't playing the melody. And I've been accompanying Gracie for years, so I would play around her voice. We caregivers are accustomed to accompanying somebody, and we lose the melody, and we fail to speak in the first person singular. When we push ourselves to speak in our own voice, just like I did musically, I had to change all the hand position and the chords that I was doing to accommodate now me playing the melody while also doing the harmony, the same way with us as caregivers. We can learn to speak from our own hearts and play our own melody. Let's don't speak in third person singular, like she, he, or we. That's the way we start doing that.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger. Learn more at hopeforthecaregiver.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to Dr. Gary Frazier, founder and president of Discovery Missions, author, speaker, and prophecy expert. So, Gary, a year ago, 1,200 Israelis brutally murdered, hundreds taken hostages, dozens still there, and today marks the anniversary of that that horrific event. Now, the big question for many of us, we've been asking this question for a long time, Israel has such great intelligence. How did they miss that? How did they allow that to happen? And why they were seemingly slow to respond to it? What do you make of that?
Well, Jeff, first of all, you know, I think that you know, we're grateful, number one, that the God of Israel neither sleeps nor does he slumber. The Bible tells us his eye is on the land of Israel from the former rains to the latter rains in the book of Deuteronomy. But the bottom line here is that I think Israel was lulled into a sense of seemingly complacency. Things were rocking along fairly well. They felt like that having Gaza sealed off pretty much was was okay, and they knew there were some tunnels there and various other things, and there had been incursions and various numbers and attempts of doing so. But where they missed it was they didn't understand, and this is a shock that the Mossad would not know this, but they had no idea that the amount of weapons that had been funneled through Egypt into tunnels and on into the Gaza Strip, and they had no idea that Iran had been. I mean, they know that, of course, Iran, obviously the world's sponsor, largest sponsor of terrorism and so forth, but they had no idea that they'd built up in Lebanon, Hezbollah, as to the degree that they have. The M-90s they're fired just in the last few days into Israel are, I mean, those are incredibly powerful strategic weapons. So they just got caught off guard, and the truth of the matter is that they were not ready to respond. It was Yom Kippur, as you know, a year ago when this event took place, just like it happened in 1973 when Israel was invaded by Syria from the north and Egypt from the south. They were caught totally off guard, and this time they were as well. And by the time they were able to virtually respond to this, the result is, we all know, and you mentioned it, 1,200 innocents slaughtered. They were not just, it was not just murder. They were slaughtered. The video evidence, but you know, one of the things about the Israelis that I think is really the world doesn't fully understand is that when a person kills a Jewish individual, they will hunt them down. Just the other day, you may have read how in 2005, in a previous conflict with Lebanon, we had a guy who held his hands up in the window with blood all over his hands. He had just killed or hung, actually, two IDF reservists. Israel got him just a few days ago. They never quit going after the ones who killed them. And I'll tell you, all you've got to do now is look at the fact that Nasrallah is gone and on the list goes. And they will continue this campaign to clean this out. Now, on the other hand, America is betraying Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's Biden standing up saying, you know, no, I'm not in favor of hitting the Iranian nuclear sites and so forth and so on. You know, Jeff, you and I both know what the Bible says about Persia, as recorded in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 5 and following. And we know the outcome of that conflict that's going to come will be that the Islamic army is going to be decimated on the mountains of Israel. But you know the thing, and I'm just talking in a general sense here, but you know the thing that I've often wondered? We are now 23 years into a war on terrorism. Who is perpetrating this conflict? It is Iran, and they've been joined, of course, by Russia, China in ways, North Korea, others. But here's the deal. You know, we have the capability. We could put an end to all of this. Now, here's the problem. Innocents would die, but innocents died in Israel as well. We could nuke Iran and put an end to all acts of terror. I mean, but the world will never rise up and do what has to be done. Instead, we have been incrementally allowing our brave soldiers, men and women, not only to die, but to be absolutely just their lives turned upside down through the various types of injuries they've incurred and so forth and so on. And I look at all of this and I just think, you know, what in the world? To what avail? We're not going to win this war like this. And we don't even recognize it as being a war. I don't know if you've noticed, but we don't even use the term war on terrorism anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the whole world perspective has changed over the last few years. Israel is and will always be the target of destruction for the Islamic world. And you well know, Jeff, Islam teaches that either you are become subservient or you convert to Islam or you're an infidel, and as such you deserve to die. This is their right. This is what they believe. This is how they operate. Always been this way, will always be this way. And so the world has to understand the reality of this, and yet we keep trying to placate these folks. And as I've said many times, there is no political solution to a religious problem, and this is a religious problem.
For sure. So what do you anticipate as Israel's response to Iran?
Well, first of all, here's the thing, and I think we all understand this. There's a strategy right now in the Muslim world, and that is, can Israel survive a multi-fronted
attack,
fronted war? Mm-hmm. And so here's the situation. Let me give you some interesting things that was just released recently by our Council on Foreign Relations. And what they said was this. Here's what they said, that the Israelis, the question was, could Israel's civilian population withstand an extended war on two or more fronts? Okay. Now, this was a survey done for between September 26th to the 29th. 40% of the Jews said they believed they could. Another 40% said that they think it would. About 15% said they think it would not. About 5% said they were certain it wouldn't. And 10% said, about 5% or so or whatever, said they didn't know. Now, on the other hand, in the Arab world, only about 5% said they thought that it was certain that Israel could survive it. A very small percentage more said they thought it would survive, but the greater number said they think it would not. So let me explain what's going on right now for those who are not engaged on a daily basis. So what happened was the front was Gaza. Then the front shifted to the PLO areas under the Palestinian Liberation Organization under the leadership of Mahmoud Abbas, who is, you know, this covers what is the so-called occupied territories, West Bank, which is biblical, it's always been biblical, Judea and Samaria. But anyway, so they started trying to do attacks against Israel. The Houthis are firing. Then Lebanon starts this barrage and so forth and so on. And so what's happened is the Muslim world is trying to open up multi-fronts because now they realize they can't possibly defeat Israel in a face-to-face confrontation.
Right.
So now they've got to try to dilute their abilities. What they don't know is this, and this is interesting. The Muslim world has no idea that they're not fighting against the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. They're actually fighting against God.
Right.
And here's why I make that statement. Amos tells us in chapter 8 that the Jewish people will be regathered never again to be separated from their land. God's promise further to that is found, as you well know, in the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, will I curse. Listen, the dustbins of history are full of the nations that have come against the Jewish people. And God has never changed his mind. And what the world doesn't understand is it is imperative that the Jewish nation and the Jewish people survive. And here's why. All end-time Bible prophecy revolves around the Jews actually being in their land. Why? Because God is not finished with dealing with the Jewish people. In fact, one of the passages of Scripture that we just, really hate to talk about is Zechariah 13, verse 8, which says 2/3 of the Jewish people living in the land are going to perish during the tribulation period, and that's what is coming. And so it's the future for the world is not bright. And it's not even bright for the Jewish people as well. So what does that mean for us sitting here and looking at the situation? It means that, first of all, that we want to be people of prayer. We want to lift up the Jewish people. We want to pray because when we don't want to be, we generalize, but we have to understand when we talk about Jewish people, we're talking about individuals. We're talking about souls that Christ died on the cross for. We're talking about human lives. And we want to be specific in that, not in a general sense, just talking about people at large. These are humans that Christ gave him his life for. And so we need to be people who are faithful to pray, people who are faithful to continue to share the gospel that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And I might say to you, we don't get there's not a lot of coverage on this, but listen, there are lots of Jewish people turning to faith in Yeshua right now in the midst of this crisis that has developed. That's not an uncommon thing. Now, we saw it ourselves here in America after 9/11. But the bottom line is the gospel is going out. People are on the ground serving, and they're sharing the stories, and people are coming to saving faith in Christ. And by the way, that's happening in Iran as well. So these are perilous times in which we live, and there are many, many things going on, but it demands our attention. But at the end of the day, we must remember there is no anxiety in heaven. God is not running around trying to figure out what plan B is going to do.
Right.
He knows where this is. And that's why Isaiah 46, 9, and 10 is so important when God says, "For I am God and there is none other. I am God and there is none like me," declaring or making known the end from the beginning. And he says that my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. God knows what the end game is. And so our job is to seek to walk with him in obedience, trust him, continue to be faithful to pray and to share the gospel of Jesus, and know that it's ultimately in his hands.
All right, Gary, I have a theory. I want to bounce this off of you and see what you think. So
yeah.
My belief is that
Hello?
Obama has been running the country. Obama is a closet Muslim and a Marxist.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Mark, did we lose him?
Hello?
Yeah. He must be on a cell phone and can't hear me. Can you hear me now, Gary? There we go. He hung up. Okay. Another guest that hangs up on me. Well, we'll forgive him. He's calling back in. Okay. I want to ask him this question. So we will hope we can get him. Okay. Gary Frazier, founder and president of Discovery Missions. You can go online and look him up. Gary has a lot of great books, and prophecy is his forte. And he's been to Israel, I think, 125 times. Very, very interested in the what's going on in Israel, because Israel, everything
yes.
rotates around Israel for prophecy. Okay, Gary, you can hear me now?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, you were just gone. I don't know what you heard and what you didn't hear.
No, we could hear you. You just couldn't hear me. Okay, so here's my theory, and I want you to comment on it. We have a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
So Barack Obama is running the country. And
right.
Barack Obama, who calls himself a Christian, is really a closet Muslim, and he's a Marxist. So if Kamala Harris gets elected, we're going to see, and Barack Obama has no use for Israel. He doesn't like Israel. As a Muslim, mm-hmm. he doesn't like them. We're going to see if we go in the direction, in a free and fair election, which is a big if there, mm-hmm. we go into the direction of 4 years of Kamala Harris. Well, she's just going to do what he wants her to do, and our support for Israel will go down to almost nothing. So comment on that.
Well, here's the thing. You're correct. Barack Obama is running the country, and the reason that he pushed Joe Biden into making her the vice president is because he knew he could control Biden, but he also knew that Biden had some mental issues, and in the event that he couldn't continue, Kamala was the perfect person because he controls her as well. So if she were to become the president, which is a scary thought in my mind, but and what's even as scary is to think that Walz is just a heartbeat away from becoming the president. What a disaster. That one disaster on top of another one, that would be. But having said that, here's the thing. You're right. Obama hates Israel. He's proven that on several occasions. Remember, he's the one that sent the plane load of cash to Iran that
right.
has allowed them to continue to do the acts of terrorism that they have been perpetrating now continually. And then, of course, what did Biden do? He followed that up with additional funds as well. You know, if we cut the money off, they couldn't be doing all that they're doing. So America's complicit. Listen to this. America is complicit in the death of Jewish people. We have a hand in that. Now, so back to your original question, should she win, we will then turn our back totally and completely on Israel. And Israel, let me again say, Israel today virtually stands alone against the world.
That's
they
exactly
will be
right.
totally isolated in the event that there is a Harris administration.
Gary, I hate to cut you off. We
are
out of time.
You, the only thing we have is doom. Yep.
Yes. So we need to pray. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Gary, thanks for being my guest today. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve, I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and make this day a great one. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.